Good morning, everyone. my name is Dalal Thakkar, and I'm a research physiologist with the USDARS at Cornell University. And today I'm going to discuss the research that we conduct specifically with KK2 cell and animal model studies that are effective at screening and developing staple food crops with improved iron bioavailability. So this is the world map as we know it. And here we have the world map with territories that are sized in proportion to the absolute number of people who died from iron deficiency anemia in 1 year. We're all aware that the challenge in terms of seeking innovative solutions for better health when it comes to pre-nutrition, iron and zinc deficiencies are identified as one of the major global health problems to be addressed by the World Health Organization. As the problem is low iron bioavailability or zinc bioavailability from plant or grain-based diets that are low in absorbable iron. One of the strategies to battle this problem is biofortification, where conventional plant breeding is used to increase the concentrations and or bioavailabilities of micronutrients in foods. However, when it comes to iron biofortification, increasing its content may not necessarily result in improving its bioavailability. The goal is to create a full range of optimal bioavailable nutrients in a single staple plant species. And in the context of research that has to do with iron bioavailability, we're able to develop screening tools that are useful for assessing iron bioavailability and in guiding the plant breeding process. And that basically consists on two steps. In the first step, we use the KK2 cell bioassay that was mentioned earlier today, where we can basically screen hundreds of samples prior to selecting the most promising lines to be assessed in our in vivo model that I will discuss both models shortly. And this should potentially be done prior to human efficacy studies. In recent years, we have several examples where our findings were in complete agreement with the parallel human efficacy studies that were conducted in India, Mexico, and Rwanda. So when it comes to the screening tools that we use, the in vitro digestion, the KK2 cell bioassay that we use consists on a human intestinal cell line, where we expose the cells to the sample, and then we harvest the cells to look into ferritin synthesis or concentration. Ferritin is the cellular iron storage unit, meaning increased ferritin content basically suggests an improvement on iron bioavailability. This allows us, as I mentioned, to screen hundreds of samples prior to the selection of the most promising lines to be assessed in vivo. This is a cost-effective, accurate, and rapid screening tool. The in vivo model that we use is the broiler chicken. We were able to demonstrate that it exhibits the appropriate responses to iron deficiency and can serve as a model for iron bioavailability. It is a fast-growing animal. It is sensitive for dietary and mineral deficiencies. It is very easy to manipulate its diet, which is not easily done in other animals. And there is at least 85% homology between gene sequences of human and chicken intestinal DMT1, D-site-B, ZNT1, and ferroportin, which are all key proteins in zinc and iron metabolism. In terms of the in vivo approach that we take, one of them would be to use the intra-amniotic administration, where we inject a nutritional solution into the amniotic fluid of the developing embryo and then look into different physiological parameters. What I will discuss today is the second approach, where we conduct long-term feeding trials. So the focus of my presentation in the context of crop biofortification, I will discuss the work that we have recently conducted with beans, specifically aimed to increase iron bioavailability by increasing its content. The examples that I will discuss are red model, black, and cream-seeded carioca beans, again, in the context of the tools that we're using. All of these studies were recently published. The first two studies that I will discuss them in parallel, but these are two independent studies, are studies that we've conducted with red model and black beans. This was done in collaboration with CIAT Colombia. They provided us the bean lines, the standard bean line, and the iron bio-fortified bean lines. And as you can see, the differences in iron content was approximately 20 to 30 ppm. Once the beans arrived to us, we processed them in preparation to combine them in the diets that we'll be assessing both in vitro and in vivo. In terms of the dietary content, in the case of the red model beans, it was 60 ppm, 60% beans. In the case of the black beans, it was 40% black beans. The other major ingredient that is relevant to the target population was maize with a very low iron content. Because the idea, again, is to make sure that most of the iron that is present in the diet originates from the beans that we're assessing. to the point that when we had the diet mixed, the difference in diet in iron content between the standard and bio-fortified diets was approximately 12 to 13 ppm. So the first step was to look into the effect on iron bioavailability in vitro, where we again exposed ourselves to the diets that we were interested in. And as you can see, there was an improvement in iron bioavailability in the case of the red mollet beans. However, we did not see a similar effect in the black bean based diet. There was no improvement in iron bioavailability in the biofortified black bean diet. After that, we moved to our in vivo assessment, and the way that it works is that we, as I mentioned, conduct a long-term feeding trial by using the animal model. This usually takes, the duration of the studies is anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks if we have enough sample to assess. On a weekly basis, we will collect blood samples for hemoglobin analysis as an indicator for iron status. In addition, we'll document body weights, iron intakes. In the end of the study, we'll collect tissue samples for further analyses. The first and most immediate physiological parameter would be hemoglobin as an indicator for iron status. And as you can see, and the information is again presented in parallel, there is an advantage to the biofortified bean-based group, which in the case of the black bean study in the end was significant, again indicating an improvement in iron status. The other physiological parameter that we assess is total body hemoglobin iron, again as an indicator for iron status. As you can see, there is an improvement in iron status in the bio-fortified groups, which at points was significant. The third physiological parameter is hemoglobin maintenance efficiency, and again is an indicator for iron bioavailability in the diets that we're assessing. Again, there is, the values in the standard group is higher, as expected, relative to the bio-fortified group. At times it was significant because this is an adaptation to the lower iron bioavailability or lower iron status of these standard group relative to the bio-fortified groups that we're assessing. When it comes to the regulation of intestinal iron absorption, iron ions reach through the intestinal brush portal membrane and then they're reduced into ferrous iron by D-site B. Iron ions are then transported into the enterocyte by DMT1. Within the enterocyte, they are either sequestered into protein complexes of ferritin or trafficked into the basal lateral membrane for export into the circulation by ferroportin, which works in partnership with a physteine that oxidizes iron and by that increase its affinity to transferrin receptor, which will carry the iron to the target tissue. Normally, we look into the gene expression of D-site B, DMT1, and ferroportin, which we did here as well. And we were surprised not to see a gene expression upregulation in the standard groups relative to the bio-fortified group, because normally there will be a gene expression upregulation of some of these factors, if not all of these factors, and again, as an adaptation to the lower iron status of these groups. Based on our experience, the in vivo results, we assume that in addition to the increase in iron content in the bio-fortified beans, other factors or potential inhibitors may also be increased. And specifically with the black beans, we looked into polyphenols that are present in beans and were associated with the inhibition or reduction of iron bioavailability in vitro. Specifically, five compounds were elevated in their concentration in the biofortified iron beans relative to the standard beans. When we assessed some of them in vitro, we discovered that, for example, myristatin is a very strong inhibitor of iron bioavailability. In addition, quercetin and quercetin 3 glucoside are also strong inhibitors versus camphorol and camphorol 3 glucoside that are not necessarily affecting iron bioavailability. And again, this was done in vitro and by using our KCO2 cell bioassay and by measuring ferritin synthesis. So to conclude with this part of my presentation, we were able to detect minor increase in absorbable iron, and this was very much in agreement with the human efficacy study that was conducted with the same black bean varieties in Mexico. We also suggest that breeding for increased iron concentration elevated the levels of polyphenolic compounds that can reduce the iron bio-fortified bean nutritional benefit. And also, bean polyphenol profile should be further evaluated and modified, if possible, in order to improve the nutritional quality of higher iron beans. In the next part of my presentation, I would like to discuss a study that was very recently published with cream-seeded carioca beans, and this study was conducted in parallel to a study that was conducted in Rwanda and by using the same beamline and human efficacy study that was conducted in Kigali University, again, in Rwanda. So what we did here was to basically look at the menus that were used and offered to the human subject in human efficacy study, again, that was conducted in Rwanda, and were able to tailor a very specific diet that is very much relevant to the target population, again, as was done in Rwanda. So in addition to the two bean varieties that we were assessing, and you can see the top two lines where we have the high versus low or standard versus biofortified beans, where the difference in iron content was approximately 50 ppm, we had very specific other ingredients that were used in the human efficacy study that was conducted in Rwanda, for example, basmati rice, pasta, potato flakes, and others. Once the diets were combined, the difference in dietary iron was approximately 15 ppm between the standard and biofortified bean-based diets. The next step was to look into how we are improving or not iron bioavailability in vitro. And what we did was to expose our cells to the beans only and the bean-based diets. And as you can see, the top two lines show the values for the beans only. There was an improvement in iron bioavailability in the cells that were exposed to the biofortified iron bean only. The same thing was with the biofortified iron bean-based diets. However, again, it was not to the extent that we expected it to be based on the difference in iron content between the two bean varieties that we looked at. The next step was to assess our findings in vivo, and again, we did see a trend of improvement in iron status when we measure hemoglobin, however, it wasn't significantly different. When we measured total body hemoglobin iron, there was an improvement towards the end, indicating on an improvement in iron status in the biofortified group relative to the standard group. And the same thing with hemoglobin maintenance insufficiency, significant difference between the two groups, indicating on increased efficiency in the standard group, and again, as an indicator for the lower iron bioavailability and lower iron status of that group. When we looked into the expression of DMT1, D-site B, and ferroportin, there was a gene expression upregulation of DMT1, the major iron transporter, and that happened in the standard group, again, as a compensatory mechanism or adaptation to the lower iron status of that group. The other thing that we did was to look into ferritin protein and iron concentration in the liver, and as you can see, the iron status or iron content in the liver of the biofortified group was significantly higher, again, suggesting an improvement in their iron status. Based on the results that we were able to obtain both in vitro and in vivo, again, we assume that the nutritional benefit is perhaps limited by other factors that are increased in the biofortified beans. And again, we noticed that quercetin 3-glucoside and carambolone 3-glucosides, their concentration was also elevated in the biofortified beans. And these two were, again, associated with the limitation or inhibition of iron bioavailability in vitro. So to conclude, again, we're able to see minor increase in absorbable iron, which was very much in agreement with the human efficacy study that was conducted in Rwanda. We also think that in addition to phytic acid, polyphenols may be responsible for limiting the nutritional effect of the iron biofortified beans, and we suggest to further evaluate and, if possible, modify the polyphenol profile of the biofortified, in this case, cream-seeded carioca beans. To overall conclude about the tools that we use to aid the biofortification efforts in staple food crops, we suggest to further utilize our screening tools to guide future studies aimed to assess biofortified staple food crops, as this approach will allow proceeding to human efficacy studies more effectively. Also, these tools have the capacity to cost-effectively monitor iron biofortified crops once they are released to farmers and dispersed into the food system. Such monitoring will likely be needed to ensure the biofortification effect. Overall, we conclude that iron biofortified beans remain a promising vehicle for increasing intakes of bioavailable iron. I would like to thank our collaborators, the team, and of course for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Yes?
You had looked at some colored cowpeas versus white cowpeas, and you mentioned that the colored cowpeas is less viable. Iron is less bioavailable in colored cowpeas compared to white ones. But the other question is, somebody made a statement that you breeders are trying to increase the iron content, let's say 100 ppm, but the bioavailability is so low that all your efforts doesn't mean anything. Can you make a statement on that?
Well, I'm not a plant breeder, but we do work in collaboration with plant breeders. Yes, the approach that we looked at here is the potential of increasing iron content or bringing towards increased iron content and the potential that it has on improving iron status by improving iron bioavailability. And you are correct. Based on what we're seeing, the increase in iron content or breeding towards increased iron content may also increase factors that can potentially inhibit the nutritional benefit that we are seeing. For example, certain polyphenols, that their concentration may be also elevated, and that can potentially, as I said, can limit the nutritional benefit. So what we suggest is to perhaps look into the polyphenolic profile in these beans and just to be aware what can be the potential limitations in iron bioavailability.
Thanks, Eva.
Thank you.